It's the BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast. Your daily download of X92.9's X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna.
For House of Cars, until January 15th, enter to have House of Cars wipe out your debt for free. No strings attached. Visit houseofcarscalgary.com.
It's Tuesday, January 19th, 2020. I'm Beckler.
I'm Shauna.
We don't have much time. We're actually bleeding into Angela's show right now.
Yes.
Got to turn over the studio. So let's go.
BNS in 20 Minutes or Less.
Beckler, have you heard of IF Day?
IF Day.
IF Day.
I have not heard of IF Day.
I stumbled across this yesterday, and I have never heard of this before. Just have a little listen. So it was a simulated Nazi Germany invasion that happened in Winnipeg during World War II. So there was a staged gunfight between fake German soldiers and Canadian troops. Prominent politicians were fake captured. Nazi rule was imposed, and it was all to try and raise money for the war effort. So it was this super...
Wow.
Yeah, it was this crazy elaborate campaign to get people to buy victory bonds to help the government fund the war. And the idea was, for those who weren't affected by the war, this would be a good way to make them truly feel what war would be like.
Like, and if then, we don't win this,
exactly,
this is what could happen.
Yep. And so then
Holy
they were hoping people
hell.
Would donate money. And it's insane. Like, when you...
So they had full-on war games in Winnipeg.
Yes. They had to warn the states who share a border with Manitoba or close by that they might actually hear a fake radio broadcast about Germany's invasion. So they warned the U.S. to be like, by the way, if you hear this, this is fake. They painted the Air Force planes to look like German planes.
Like, and then they flew over?
Then they flew over. The town of Selkirk, which is just outside of Winnipeg, which I haven't heard of, but they staged their own bombing to go along with this as well. And then as money came in, I guess there was this map up in the main square of Winnipeg at Portage and Main showing parts of the city being reclaimed as donation dollars started to escalate.
And as the Allies won the war.
Yes. So as that certain area...
That is, like,
oh, I know.
Just thinking about that in a modern context, like... That would not fly today. I guess it's hard to say outside of wartime, but
I know.
I just can't imagine that going on today.
I can't. Like, I can't. It was basically like LARPing. The entire city of Winnipeg was involved in this full-out role-playing thing. Like, this very serious thing.
But it was probably quite effective.
I'm sure it was.
I imagine.
They donated. I know a ton of money was raised. Like, they you know, it succeeded in what it was meant to do. But I was just thinking, I'm like, that... A fake bombing and like the politicians were captured. Holy hell.
Yeah, that would have made it seem very real.
Because,
you know, I know that many people went overseas to fight from around here, but the war was still very far away, wasn't it?
Yeah. And that's what I think they saw. They were like, well, people have this disconnect if they're not in it right now. So this is how we're going to make it feel like they're in the war.
No, I've never heard of that. It was called IF Day.
IF Day. And looking back, I was just like, yeah, it full out the entire city, the amount of money that they spent to make that happen.
What did this cost?
I know. I was like,
if you're repainting planes and faking bombings and stuff, like, that's not cheap.
Yep. They had like fake explosions and stuff that were part of the gunfight and the firefight stuff and everything else that went along. I was like, wow.
It's almost like a bit of like fake alternate history, isn't it?
Yeah.
And alternate history is such an interesting genre. Like, I don't know if you ever watched the show, or I think it's based on a book, The Man in the High Castle.
No, I didn't.
And it's about what the United States would look like had Germany and Japan won the war.
Oh.
And it's fascinating.
Wow.
Yeah, it's... That's... I highly recommend it, but yeah.
And that's kind of what this would
what
be.
What Winnipeg would look like.
If
Nazi Germany won the war.
Yeah.
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
I got a message from a friend of the show, Nils. He said he was catching up on old episodes of our podcast, the BNS, the Beanus.
The Beanus.
The Beanus. And he heard us talking about tandem bikes.
Oh, yeah.
We've had some good hard laughs about tandem bikes on this show over the years.
We have.
But Nils thinks we're looking at them all wrong. So he's a big gearhead.
Uh-huh.
He's into cars and trucks. And his theory is that a tandem bicycle might have nothing at all to do with romance. But rather, this is his quote, like a diesel truck with two power supplies for that low-end torque monster towing rig. 300 or 400 pounds of traction. Hell, you could get a tandem axle trailer and tow four of them kids.
Wow.
That's from Nils.
Okay, Nils.
So first, I think this puts Nils in the running for Terry of the Month.
I'd say so. That is your descriptor of a tandem bicycle.
Mid-month entry for Terry of the Month here,
okay.
Nils.
Yep.
Secondly, I told Nils if he's single, I think he should make a dating profile looking for a woman to fill this specific role.
That would go well.
It would. Imagine like coming across that while you scroll. Hey, I'm just a fun-loving and outgoing guy looking for someone to have an adventure with. Here's a picture of a fish I caught.
Hey, I'm just a laid-back girl who's easygoing and love to have a good time. I enjoy the outdoors, yoga, and dogs, and wine. Here's a picture of my backside as I pensively look out onto the mountains.
Yeah, I'm looking for a girl with big legs and a big dumper to be the second power supply on my tandem bike. I need at least 300 or 400 pounds of traction for this low-end torque monster towing rig. And if things go well, we'll hook up a tandem axle trailer and tow 3 or 4 of them there kids.
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
I was reading an article online yesterday where somebody was arguing that Alberta is one of the least friendly provinces in the country.
Really?
And
I think people here are great.
I agree. They attributed it to a lot of young people and a lot of transplants. And they said that that can result in a kind of cold environment, which when I thought about it, I was like, okay, I kind of maybe understand where they're coming from in that regard. Mm-hmm. I don't know how that would make us a less friendly place. I certainly would not say we're one of the least friendly places in the country. That's for damn sure. Got me thinking, though, what would you say would be the least friendly province in the country?
The least friendly?
Yeah.
This is tough because I haven't been to a lot of parts of Canada. Fair. So I'm going to be relying heavily on stereotypes
here. Okay, fair. Yeah.
But I have heard from people who have moved to Vancouver that it's very difficult to make friends there. People are kind of stuck up.
Interesting.
And of course, that's just Vancouver. I don't know about the rest of BC. I lived in BC and made friends.
Yeah.
But you might have to say British Columbia for that reason.
Yeah. And that's the thing is, of course, this is anecdotal. I've had experiences, for example, in Quebec, I had the most experiences of people who were kind of rude to me.
Okay.
But
I haven't been to Quebec.
So. No. And since then, though, I've realized that what it is the culture there is a little bit different where they don't sugarcoat things as much. So it's more how they approach people, which I always find very interesting because here people say we sometimes can be overly fake. So it's not that we're more friendly, but we pretend to be almost.
Okay.
So I would say maybe Quebec, and I was going to say, yeah, Ontario as well. But again, the big cities, smaller towns aren't quite the same.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. I think it's almost like a survival thing in a big city. Because if you were friendly to every single person on the street, like you'd burn out.
Yeah.
You'd get stopped all the time.
And when I lived downtown Toronto, people just would keep their heads down because you had to get places. Mm-hmm. And in order to do that, you had to budge through a bunch of people. And unfortunately, you couldn't be friendly to everybody as you were doing it, I guess.
Right. In a small town, the pace of life is slower. You got time to chat with the gas station attendant because...
Yeah. I still love it.
It takes 2 minutes to get across town.
So. You know when you see the two cars pulled over and they're having a chat on the side of the road? Like, I still see that here and I love it. I'm like, that is fantastic.
So on the other end of things, the most, where do you think Alberta would fall?
I think we're probably in the middle.
Okay.
Yeah, somewhere in the middle there. Again, I think it's great here, but I was thinking in the grand scheme of things, perhaps I'd put it there. Like, I would put Saskatchewan above us.
Yeah, and Manitoba, it's like it's right on their license plate. They kind of pride themselves on that, don't they?
Yeah.
And then the East Coast and their legendary hospitality out there. So would it go like East Coast, Manitoba, Saskatchewan, Alberta, Ontario, and then BC or Quebec? Is that how you do it? Okay.
I'd put it there. Yeah.
All right.
Put it there.
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
As you just mentioned, tomorrow is the inauguration of Joe Biden.
Yeah.
And I think many people will be watching to see if they're... Is anything that happens, any reaction from Trump or his supporters? Mm-hmm. The promo on CTV News last night said, the world holds its breath. Whoa.
Yeah, that's a bit intense.
I was listening to this interview yesterday, so fascinating, with a retired 4-star General Stanley McChrystal and a former Navy SEAL named Chris Fussell. And they were talking about kind of the cult of Trump and the QAnon believers and the mentality of people who would storm the Capitol. And the question was posed to them, is there anything Trump could say or do at this point to defuse the situation? Like, to call off his dogs? Like, if he went on TV and, you know, had a couple hour block there and he spoke for a few hours and said, like, listen, I'm a reality TV star. I'm a bit of a con man. Joe Biden won the election fair and square. I wish him well. We need to stop this. Would that make a difference? And all of them answered, no, it wouldn't.
I was going to say, probably not. They'd probably think he was being forced to say that.
Yeah, that's what they said, that he had been compromised somehow or that he had been
kidnapped
by aliens something like that. Yeah. And that's really wild to think about, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like,
I think that's one of the you know, the scariest parts about conspiracy theorists to begin with, right, is that because it's all part of the conspiracy. At this point, if you truly believe something, anything that, you know, proves against you or any...
Is another conspiracy. They have to compound or they stop making sense, don't they?
Yep.
And you and I talk about conspiracies all the time on Conspiracy Corner, but for fun.
Yes.
Whereas, you know, people will actually believe this stuff.
Yep.
And then, you know, and what becomes of those people? Like, what do you do with a group, whatever percentage of Trump supporters you believe this is, who are that far gone? Like, the QAnon thing especially is one that, it's like, it's scary, but it's also really sad. I was reading comments from people who said, like, they have lost family members over belief in this conspiracy. And those people, they sincerely believe that they are protecting children from cannibalism. So they think the rest of the world is crazy for not doing anything about it. So what do you, how do you begin to deprogram somebody like that?
I don't think you can. Like that, I hope that that's not the case because that's terrifying to think about. But when you, that's the problem, is that people don't believe or they think the world is against them. Any actual proof that you can present to them, again, is not proof to them, right?
It's just another part, like you said.
It's just fake. It's
another
just
part
all
of the conspiracy.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
Got a message from friend of the show, Carly. Another submission for the Fortune 500 list of local businesses.
Oh.
Carly describes herself as a big Venus head. And this isn't exactly local, but I think you'll probably agree that we can make an exception here, Shauna. But Carly came across this excavating company in Victoria, BC called Dr. Hose.
Oh, that's good.
Yes.
Yeah.
First of all, you have to be Canadian to get that. I don't.
Yep.
Is Dr. Ho Canadian?
Actually, I don't.
Or
I didn't think
American.
That's a damn good question. I don't actually know. Regardless, Dr. Ho, you
went... It works on a number of different levels.
It sure...
Because
yes.
Hose,
mm-hmm.
Dr. Hose.
Yep.
Any word there? Is he...
Looks like he is Canadian.
Okay.
I
That's perfect then.
I didn't quite realize that. Yeah.
So, at least an honorary mention for the Fortune 500.
Absolutely. He did pre-med at the University of Calgary, it says.
No way. You're telling me all this time, Dr. Ho.
We've talked about Dr. Ho so
Calgary.
Much. I had no idea that he was here for schooling. It's crazy.
That's exciting. Is he our most famous citizen then? Or
I mean, I'd say he's right up there.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
Credit cards, line of credit, car loans, personal loans. We all have debt, and House of Cars wants to wipe it away. Now until January 15th, enter to win the Wipe Your Debt contest at houseofcarscalgary.com. House of Cars, Alberta's top choice dealer 5 years in a row. Often imitated, never duplicated.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
Friend of the show, Devin, sent a video to us and of this woman who's trying to sell two chains on something called Crystal Water.
Crystal Water.
Yeah, and Devin thought that it was something that you and I might be interested in. So instead of me describing it, I figure I just play a little clip so she can do it for you. Here's Crystal Water.
Vita Jewel has designed products to energize and invigorate your water through the frequency and vibration of gemstone crystal. Water isn't just H2O molecules. It actually has a capability of holding a memory to what it's exposed to, and it can be positively influenced through energy and frequency. So each of the blends are based off of different healing practices. So that one's inspiration. It has lapis lazuli rutilated quartz in it. Your Via bottle that we're holding right here can range anywhere from $78 to $330. And the most expensive product in the Grande would be with the diamond vial, would be about $700.
Right.
So
you put diamond in your water, and then it resonates at the right frequency, and then it's better for you.
It gives you healing powers. And then she said 7 minutes, you put it in there, you put a crystal in your water, and you shake it up, and then it infuses it, and then it gives you the powers of that crystal.
You know, on one hand, I almost kind of admire people who have come up with ways like this to separate wealthy idiots from their money. I think you got to respect that hustle to some degree. Mm-hmm. If you can convince someone who can buy a $700 bottle of water that the frequencies in it are better for you, then yeah, I think you deserve your $700.
Like $700. So. Like to put, and you see her and it's a vial. Okay. It looks kind of like a decanter, which is probably what it is, mm-hmm, right? And then you toss a little crystal in that decanter and you shake it in. And the thing, the little decanter itself is like $90 to buy.
Okay.
So she sells you that, and then you put the crystal in, and that's, of course, way more than the diamond one, most expensive.
Well,
as
it won't
her.
Work if you don't. I remember I watched a documentary about water.
Mm-hmm.
This was many years ago, and they were talking about that, about how water has a memory, and
yeah,
water, you know, responds to frequencies and responds to energy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm Like, I don't know if that science has been proven. I would be surprised if it has.
Yeah, well, I don't know what I was watching, but there was something that I thought was proven about water and responding to different energies, but not to this, not the, you put a diamond in some water and for $700, you then get special powers. Like,
I don't think so. That's my friend and I, after we watched that documentary, we were talking about it, and he said, I find myself like sending positive energy to the water that I drink now. Yeah. He's like, I'm in the shower and I'm like, thank you. As it washes over me.
Just before you step in the shower, you look up at it and you're like, I like you. Please you don't hurt me. Gift. Thank you.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
I was watching the Bruins play yesterday, and I've noticed there's this style of play-by-play in sports that you're hearing more and more, particularly in hockey, just because of the nature of gameplay, where the announcer just says the name of the guy who has the puck as it moves around.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
And, I mean, hockey play-by-play is super difficult. I don't know if you've ever done any of it, Shauna.
Nope.
I did it for 3 minutes on the radio before I was pulled, and that was the end of my career. And it's super difficult on the radio because you have to describe to someone who's listening everything that's happening on the ice.
Yeah.
You get a little bit of leeway because no one can prove you wrong. You know, they can't see what's happening. So if you say something wrong, no one knows.
Yeah. But
unless they're sitting at the game listening to the radio, which some fans do. My dad used to do that at Rough Rider games.
Yep.
On TV, though, like, everyone can see what's happening. So
yeah, it's not as important on TV
to be as descriptive. Yeah.
No.
But, and I almost think it's easier just because of how some of these guys do it now. You know, it's like, give me the Lindholm, Kachuk, Lindholm, back to Hanifin.
Yeah.
Now Dubé, Rasmus Anderson. It's like, yeah, those are.
Is that a new thing, or has that always kind of been part of how you do it on TV, though?
I don't remember hearing that when I was growing up. I think that it's the Joe Buck style of commentary. Uh-huh. I'm not the biggest Joe Buck fan, but that's how he talks, right?
It's true.
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Davante Adams. Touchdown.
And I think
cool.
I think perhaps maybe because there's so much more going on now with the TV broadcasts that perhaps you find you don't need to fill it in quite as much as you used to.
And I agree that, like, an announcer who can let a game breathe a bit.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. It's an art form.
Also, there was a time where you couldn't really even see the puck. So then you really had to maybe
or who the player was.
Right? Then you had to make it a little more clear for everybody, whereas now we can see all that.
And like, that's Dubé. That is, in fact,
yes,
Dubé.
Yes, thank you. We know.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
I stumbled across this list yesterday of some old local Calgary bands from the 60s.
Okay.
And I saw this list and I was like, I would love to know what some of this sounded like. So I started trying to hunt online to see if there was actually any audio recordings that I could find of these local Calgary bands. And I found a couple. This one in particular is a band called Adanac Reply. And I found this song by them and I was like, let's have a listen. It's kind of fun to listen to and think about these bands being played in garages back in the 60s.
Late 60s, I would imagine.
1966 is when that was 66, released.
66, okay.
Yeah, and it's funny because the original 45 for that band apparently costs about $800 right now. It's a super rare find.
Wow.
So,
and whatever happened to the musicians?
Nothing. There's some kind of background information on them, and it says that they like were really, you know, kind of forging through and going forward for a little bit, and then they kind of just stopped and disappeared off the mainstream, and that was that, but they were a garage psych band from Calgary that people love to go
sounds
watch.
Sounds pretty psychedelic.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me of the Doors.
Yeah, it does actually. It's funny though, because I was like, we should bring that style back. It's kind of just kind of funky and fun to listen to. Kind of like ska music.
I wonder where those guys even recorded that.
That's a damn good question.
Like, would the studio have been in here in Calgary, or would you had to, like, I think it's so much easier to make music now than it used to be.
Mm-hmm. I was reading there were a couple recording studios in Calgary. I'm not sure if these guys recorded there as well, but
okay.
Yeah, there was some, and there were a lot of different venues that people would go to see all these live Calgary bands, and man.
Yeah, they sounded pretty good, but it never really blew up.
No.
Adanac Reply.
Adanac Reply is the name of them. Yeah.
Good find.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
I went to retweet this article last night, and I got a pop-up message from Twitter that said, want to read the article first?
Oh, that's pretty funny.
Exactly like that. And I didn't need to read the article because I was just quoting the headline mm-hmm. and trying to make a point for the purpose of that tweet. The article wasn't really relevant to what I was trying to say. It
right.
was just the headline. And you and I, we know about that all too well.
Mm-hmm.
People who, like, how many times have we posted an audio clip or a video or something, and then people start going off in the comments and they clearly haven't listened to the clip, or it's like we addressed this.
Well, or people who will retweet an article or something thinking it's relevant to something happening right now, and then if you were to actually read or open the article, you notice it's from 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Or it, like, disproves what they're trying to say.
Yeah.
Or it's like, you're didn't, like, read
nope.
this, did you?
Mm-mm.
But I thought... So, I appreciate, like, urging people to read before, like, to read a little more, get a little more information
yeah.
before you make a comment. But I thought the way they worded it was super funny. It wasn't a question like, do I want to read the article first?
Yes.
It was like, hey, dumbass, read the article first. It's like, want to read the article first?
That's I'm good with that.
Want to read the article first is what it said.
Okay. Yep, straight to the point.
Straight to the point.
It's a good thing to ask people, you know, just pose it, because otherwise people will be like, no, I don't. Whereas this way, they'd be like, oh.
You know? Couldn't help but notice she didn't read the article there, so.
Yeah. Hey, dummy.
Want to read that?
Read it.
You've been listening to the B&S in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
For House of Cars. Until January 15th, enter to have House of Cars wipe out your debt for free. No strings attached. Visit houseofcarscalgary.com.
You want more? Then tune in to X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna live on Calgary's alternative X92.9. Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time at x92.9.ca. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and have B&S in 20 Minutes or Less downloaded daily to whatever device you use. Later.